Good evening. My name is Brian Rich, servant of the Most High God, who sent His Son to lift me out of a pit of sin. But that pit was so deep and so dangerous. But I willfully put myself in that pit. But He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. But it was so deep that He died in the process. He gave His life for me. Should I not give Him mine? There's times I think about the price that was paid for my salvation. And sometimes I see myself there by that cross, with the hammer in my hand and the nail in the other hand, and I'm driving those nails, and it hurts. Because I chose to go into sin. No one made me. But God sent that Son, my brother, to save my soul. And to lift me out of that pit. And for that I'm thankful. Does that witness to your heart? Do you know what I'm talking about? We've been there, haven't we? I thank the Lord. The song the sister just sang, I heard it that they wanted to please their God. Turn with me, please, to John, the 4th chapter, and I want you to pray for me, that the Lord will bless the Word tonight. John, the 4th chapter and the 34th verse. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He came down to lift us out of a pit of sin. That was the work He was sent to do. What about us? What have we been put on this earth to do? What is our job and what is our responsibility? Have you ever thought about that in the quiet of the night? Why am I here? Why have I got life? Why am I male or female? What is the purpose of my life? Have you ever spent time in that thought? I have. And I didn't have an answer when I was a young person. I didn't have an answer when I was a young man. I hadn't been told. But when the Lord began to deal with me and He saved my soul, I began to realize what that purpose was. He saved me to love Him. Every one of us was put on this earth to love God and to serve Him. That is the purpose for our life. Christ came down and gave His life for us. Because we made that terrible mistake. But God undid all that we had done and raised Him that third day. Our brother is alive again and he's well. And he's sitting on the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me. I'm thankful for the plan of salvation. I'm thankful that God has called us once again to be His children, the sons of God once again. I think about Adam and Eve in that garden and how God used to come down and talk to them in the cool of the day. Dear ones, there was a time that God did not come down and talk to men in the cool of the day. He had a few prophets that He talked to and they related to the people. But after Jesus said it was finished, there was a plan put in place that you and I could come back to be the sons of God, just like Adam and Eve, and we can talk to Him in the cool of the day and in the heat of the day, in the midst of the storm and the rain and the cold and the heat. It makes no difference. God is there to walk with us and to talk with us, and that's the life that He's given to us today. How precious is that? To be called the sons of God once again and to live a life where we can call upon Him in a moment's notice in any time of need. Dear one, tonight I want to talk about our confidence. 8th chapter of John. And the 29th verse. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. This is Christ speaking. It's read in my Bible. Do you see a confidence there in that statement? A quiet confidence to know that God is with him. But he goes on to say why he is with him. For I do always those things that please him. I remember a time that I got a call. Someone needed urgent prayer. They were in a bad state. But that call found me in a bad state. Hadn't had a good day. Wasn't where I should have been. And I was so ashamed. Before I could pray for them, I had to pray for me. Because I didn't have the confidence to pray for them that my prayer would hit heaven. I hadn't done as God had had me to do that day. My confidence was shaken. Do you know what I'm speaking of tonight? This is Jesus, our example. He gave His life for us. Should we not give Him ours? To live as He lived. You know, I hear people talk about being a Christian. I just said, Brian Rich, servant of the Most High God. I didn't call myself a Christian. That's too high. Just a servant. Just someone that just does what they can do for God when God leads and directs. But to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. It's to mimic Him in all ways and in all things. Can we stand and say we're a Christian? Do we really live like a Christian? Like Christ did? Do we have His attitude, His temperament? Do we have the mind of Christ? We can have it. The Bible says we must have it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are we ready at a moment's notice? The Bible says to be ready to give an answer to any man that asked the hope that was in you. Are you ready to give that answer? Do you have that hope? Is your confidence there? Or is it shaken? Dear ones, Jesus said, and He said it with confidence, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please Him. Dear ones, today is the first day of the rest of our life. Let's live it for God. That we might have that confidence. That we might have that answer of the hope that is within us. That we might be able to lead a brother and a sister to that great thing that we have found. That they too might be pulled out of that pit of sin. Romans, the 8th chapter. Eighth verse. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're talking about pleasing our God. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The world today, so many claiming to be Christians. I feel that they flatter themselves. And as I look at their lives, I often see that which is contrary to that very word. Not like Christ. Lord, help us. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, Christ came to destroy the works of the flesh, the works of the devil, and to give us power and strength over the flesh. I have found it to be so. Because God has given me power to be a different creature than I once was. Oh, I tried to do right. I was taught right from wrong, but I found that I couldn't. I just couldn't do right. There was a power that pulled at me and pulled at my flesh that I could not overcome. I might do well for a while, but I always went back and did wrong again. It wasn't till God got a hold of my heart and made a change. I was sitting here the other day and a young brother came to me and we were talking. And as he began to talk, the tears began to fall from his eyes. I grabbed his hand and I said, "The Lord hath made your heart soft." He said, "Yes." I said, "Me too, brother, me too. I know what it means to have God take a hold of the heart and make it soft. To make it a heart that's of flesh, no longer that stone that it once was." See, that's what sin did for me. It made me hard. When I was just a boy, I was taught, boys don't cry. Only girls cry. Boys don't cry, you've got to be strong. Well, I learned that I had to get hard to be strong. So I hardened my heart. And when people said things that hurt, it just could bounce off. You've heard that old saying, water off a duck's back? That's where I was at. You couldn't tell me anything that would hurt me. At least you'd never see it. Until God got a hold of me and changed all that. Thank our God. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse 31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Whatsoever ye do. What did Jesus say? "I do always that which pleases my God." So whatsoever we do, dear ones, must please our God. This is not about us, it's about Him. It's about glorifying His name. It's about edifying His people. It's about His church, His bride. I used to think about that term, the bride of Christ. And being a man, it was somewhat offensive. What do you mean I'm supposed to be the bride of Christ? I'm a man. I didn't understand. But when I realized what the bride of Christ was, the church of God, and that I was placed into that, I realized there was nothing unstrong about this, feminine. It was strength that I had never had before. God had given me an inner strength to be the bride of Christ, to have a husband and his name is Jesus. What a wonderful thought. As a husband, I know that it's my duty to take care of my wife and my family. It falls upon me. And when I look at that, the marriage between a man and a woman represents the marriage of Christ and the church, I realize that this new husband of mine is to take care of me, is to watch over me, and to provide for me. And He's done that. He's proved Himself faithful as my husband. And I love Him for it. Does this witness to your heart? Do you know what I'm speaking of tonight? Amen. Were you once down in that pit too? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. No offense. What does that word offense mean to you? I see it as a stumbling block. Something that will make our brothers or our sisters stumble. Dear ones, how do we live? Do we live each day to please God? Do we live each day to edify the people of God, the church of God, the bride of Christ? It says here, give no offense. No offense to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Dear ones, God has saved us for a purpose and for a reason. To love Him and to serve Him. Young man told me recently, he said, I asked him what he did for a living. He's a school teacher. But he says, I'm a minister of God and I just front as a school teacher. But God is my number one. God is who I live for. And His work is what I endeavor to accomplish. Teaching school just gives me an opportunity to talk to the young people about God. I said, aren't you going to get into trouble? Oh, he said, I've been warned. But so be it. Until they stop me. He said, young people today are hungry. They haven't heard the truth. They haven't heard it. You can go into areas and talk to children. They've never been to church. I'm talking high school. Never been to church. Have you ever prayed? They've never prayed. How can this be? How can the land of Christianity, the United States, go so far? But that's where we're at. I recently read a book on a minister out of China. He was talking about all God was doing there. As I read that book, I thought about the early church. Healings. People being raised from the dead. Eyes back in the blind. People that had never walked healed and walking again. Dear ones, that's what's going on in China today. But it's not in the churches that you can see. I think they call it the government churches. They're called three-pronged churches. But these churches are called the house churches. The ones where they have to sneak and hide to worship God. But what he said was, he said an American. An American came there and brought them Bibles. Taught them the Word of God. And today, they hold America with thanksgiving because of what they had done to bring them Christianity many years ago. So now they're going to start sending missionaries to the United States. We need it. This country needs missionaries from somewhere to bring the Word of God. To exhibit the Spirit of God. Dear ones, we're just a small group here. Just a remnant. There's a big world out here. The United States. What is it now? 300 million? There's 30 million in California. That's a big field to be harvested. Lord, help us. I'm not saying go out there and preach to everyone you come in contact with. I'm asking you to live the life. and the life you live. When you do it to always do it, Jesus said, the will of Him that sent me. I do always that that pleases my God, my Father. That'll give a conversation to those that are without speaking a word. But when the door is open, then speak that word. And it'll be opened. If you want to know the will of God concerning you, ask Him. If you really want to know, God will reveal it to you. We heard a message on desire. That's what it takes, desire. Do you really want to know? Oh, you say that's right. If it meant giving up your home, would you still want to know? If it meant giving up your job, would you still want to know? If it meant changing everything about the way you live, would you still want to know? We heard today about those being willing to sacrifice themselves for the work of God. Two were ordained right here for the ministry. Well, let me fix it. One was ordained, right? They were ordained as a couple. One to the ministry. The other to help. If you really want to know, God will reveal it. But get ready. Lord, help us. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Lord, help us. Galatians 1 and 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. To want the praise of man. Dear one, this is all about Christ. What we do here, we must do for God. I'm 56 years old. What I do, I must do quickly. Because I've wasted too many years already. It's time. It's time to put ourselves aside and put on God. Do I seek to please God or do I seek to please men? Lord, help us. He's called us and given us a job to do, dear ones. He saved you and He put you in His army. A soldier of the Most High God. First Thessalonians. Four and one. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Walk to please God. And what benefit will come by it? It says you'll abound more and more. All the benefits of living for God. Young lady brought her child to me. Had an eye infection, and that eye was running real bad. She'd not saved and told me that the doctor had given her this ointment and she was putting it in that eye, but it just didn't seem to be doing any good. So I asked if I could pray. Can I pray for the baby? She said, yeah, you can pray for the baby. She brought it over. I laid my hands on it. And I said, Lord, heal this child. Lord, take away this infection that this mother might see that there's a God alive and well and still lives in Zion. And He's still on His throne. He's still healing. She told me the next day it was gone. Did I do anything? No, I'm just a servant. God did something. Will she ever forget it? No, she won't. These times when our children are touched, these times when people are touched by those things that they see God working in our lives, they'll never forget it. Bring up a child, away it should go, and when it's old, it shall not depart. What does that mean? It means teach a child to live like they love God, and when they're older, they may love God. Now, some of you may be able to explain that a little better than me, but that's what I see. Well, they're not saved, so... Well, teach them. Teach them the way they should live. They may not live it, but you teach them. That's the Word of God, and that's our responsibility. These young teachers that take these children, I thank you. Thank you for that job, that ministry that's going to teach those children, and then someday, hopefully soon, but someday, they have something to call on, something that they've learned. How did they learn it? Through us. Thinking of the eunuch on the chariot, Queen Candace's treasurer, on his way home, reading Isaiah, and Philip was told by the Spirit to join himself. He ran over there, and the eunuch was reading at him. Philip asked him, he said, understand what thou readest? What did he say? I need someone to guide me. Dear ones, are we guides? Are we guides tonight? Can we bring a brother? Can we bring a sister to Christ? Lord, help us. That's why God has called us into His kingdom. I didn't get saved when I was little. I used to go to church, went to Sunday school. But you know, I never forgot what I did learn. It's never left me. It doesn't. You can't put a valuable price on it. How do you put a price on it? This thing will get your soul to heaven. What's it worth? Ask that man that was down in those flames, who asked to send the beggar to cool the tip of his tongue with just a drop of water. What would he have been willing to pay for this? It was too late. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. Let's do it today. Let's start today. Let's live for God. And let's have the benefits that go along with living for God. I've heard it said there's no healthier people in the world than the saints of God. And I thought about that. I thought, wow, we got this prayer request and that prayer request and this one. How can that be? But when I look out here, and you look at percentages of the world, the saints are the healthiest people in the world. It's the truth. Just look at the statistics. Brother the other night preached about drugs. Preached about drugs. I've got an article in my briefcase that I cut out just a couple days before this meeting started. And what it said was, that if you took all the people in the United States that died from war, from car accidents, from disease, will still not amount to the amount of people that die from prescription drugs. Prescription drugs, those drugs that have been given by doctors to people to help them, kill more people in the United States than anything else combined. Have you ever read some of those ads? If you take this, it'll do this for you. But, get down to the small letter. Warning. The side effects. You got cancer and they give you a drug, and what's the side effect? Cancer. Someone explain that to me. Is that a good thing? But you go to God and it's all good. It's all good. You see, God don't make no mistakes. This hits very close to my home. You see, this man that I loved had a 7-year-old daughter, and she broke her leg out on the farm. I don't remember exactly what happened, but she broke her leg, just a break. So the man gathered her up, took her to the doctor, thought, well, they're just going to put a cast on, send her home. But this doctor gave her a shot of something. She went in a coma and she died from a broken leg. There was two doctors involved, but one doctor made the decision. 40 years or so later, he died. And the other doctor felt so guilty and so bad, he went to this man I loved and he told him what happened. That doctor made a wrong decision and gave her the wrong drugs. A 7-year-old girl died from a broken leg. God can heal broken legs. Lord, help us. To trust God and to live for God. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, that exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please God so ye would abound more and more. Know how to please God. How do we do that? How many times have I counseled a young man or young lady and I said, now just go and do what you know is right. You know what God has showed you. You know what's been preached. You learned the Word of God. We've talked about it now. Now go and do it. That's how you please God. Do what you know is right. How many of us are fighting against God? He told Paul, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What does that mean? Fighting against God. You know what a prick is? Back in that day, they used to have long poles, sticks, and they were sharpened on the end to a sharp point. And when they had that oxen, they had him yoked up and they were pulling. That oxen began to get out of sorts. They just stick him in the rear with that pick. That oxen straightened right up. It hurt. Dear ones, it's God's mercy to stick us with the pricks. You fight against God. You know God's will and you refuse to do it. Why? It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. Then how are you going to abound more and more? You want the blessings but not willing to do the work. Jesus said, I do always those things that please God, please my Father. Dear ones, we must do the same. Paul here's writing and exhorting us. Well, here was the Thessalonian church. But they used to send these letters to all the other churches too. They used to share them. So that all the saints had an understanding. As ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. How long have we been going to church? How many times have we heard the doctrine? Heard the Word of God preached? Have we accepted it or rejected it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why did we come? The brother said, because we want to know the will of God concerning us. Well, here it is, dear ones. Here it is. And you have it at home. You brought a Bible with you. You can know the Word of God if you want. You can fulfill the commandments of Christ if you want. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you really love Him? Do you really put Him first in your life? Lord, help us. We've had examples set before us. Christ the first. But there's been brothers and sisters that have lived this life and set an example before so that we know that we too can live it. Oh, we need the help of God. We can't do it on our own. But He's there to give us that help. Has He ever turned any one of you away? Can anyone hold their hand up and say, I went to God for help and He turned me away? I had a man tell me that one time. Oh, yeah. We were working on a job, four of us out of town. So we went out to dinner together and went down to this little river and just to visit, killing time. And we began to talk about my subject. That's God. Get it turned towards God if you can. And we began to talk and this man began to cry. I mean, he was crying crocodile tears. They were running down his face. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I got in my bedroom and I fell on my knees and I asked God to save my soul and He didn't do it. Yeah, brother, that's the way I looked at him. And a knife stuck me in the heart. Lord, how can this be? Lord, You never turn an honest soul away. And I'm looking at him and he's crying. I got on my knees and I asked God to forgive me and He just wouldn't forgive me. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, ask Him if He'd give up his sin. I said, when you were praying, I said, were you willing to give up sin? And the tears shut off just like that. Just like walking over to a faucet and shutting it off. And He said, no. Well, the knife came out of my heart. Now I understood. And that amazed look on my face, it was gone. Well, dear one, you've got to be willing to live for God. You've got to give up that which you know is wrong. He that knoweth do good and doeth not, to him it's sin. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. He told me no and didn't want to talk about it anymore. Lord, help us. 2 Timothy. Two and four. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Dear ones, have you been chosen to be a soldier? It already said we couldn't live in the flesh, we had to live in the spirit. And here it says that we're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. I had a sister not too long ago remind me, she said, well, we were talking about different issues and she said, well, the saints used to teach against the radio. I said, sister, I still do. Now, let me clarify. I've got some strange looks out there. My wife's giving me the worst one. There's things on the radio that are not fit for saints' consumption. I don't want you listening to the Bob and Tom show. I've heard it. You see, those men at work used to turn it on. They'd leave the shop and I'd turn it off. I'd go to work, come back, he'd be back on. I'd turn it back off. Or they wanted to listen to that Howard Stern's character. Most foul and vile and evil man. That's not fit for human consumption. Yeah, I'll teach against the radio. If you want to turn it on to the weather station, no problem. Dear ones, to please God and to know how to please Him. We have liberty to do anything, but it may not be expedient, so we leave it alone. Does that make sense? Have I got this right? I believe I do. If it's not expedient, get it out of your life. No man that warreth. Are we in a war? Brother Darrell preaches a message about the battle's not ours, but it's God's. If that's not being at war, what is? I know I'm at war, and I know the devil that I face. He's my enemy. Brother Darrell said, we didn't do anything to cause him to come against us. But it's Christ in us that he's after. Now that I understand. And I know that there's a battle because I'm not giving up Christ. So this battle's going to go on and on until the Lord takes me home. So be it. Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to go to war? Have you got your armor on? How can you put your armor on if you're entangled with all these other things? These things of the world. Think about it. I can't get this breastplate on. I got too much things in the way. My helmet don't fit. My head's too big. Because I like the praise of man rather than the praise of God. You see, when you live for God and you don't care about man, that helmet just seems to fit. No man at war entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life. Dear ones, it will bombard you. It'll come in against you. It'll be set you on every side. The world will come in and fill you until you can't even get on your knees and reach heaven. Try to get down and pray in this thing and this thought. And I'm a man with a busy mind. There's times I wake up in the middle of the night, I can't even say, and I'm thinking, and my mind's going here and it's going down. Lord, help me. Most of it is trash. Now, I'm not saying sin, I'm saying trash. Why am I thinking about a culvert down the road? A busy mind. Lord, help me. Settle my mind. If I'm going to meditate on anything, I want to think on You. I want to think on Your Word. I want to think on the goodness of God. You know the Lord can help us. You got a busy mind? Lord's got a cure for that busy mind. I find that when I start thinking on God, do a little praying, do a little reading, I go back to sleep. Sleep good. I've told people, you can't sleep. You can't sleep. I know something better than a sleeping pill. Just get the Bible out, start reading it. Devil, back off, you go right to sleep. You found it so? Are we in a war? That's a war. He wants your soul. He wants Christ out of your life. He can't have it. We're not going to give it to Him. It's ours, given to us by Christ. It's not His and never will be. And we have the power to keep it. Through Him, He'll seal us. And He's able to keep us till that day of judgment. Not entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who has chosen him to be a soldier. 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Dear ones, when I first God began to deal with me on this message. I'm going to tell you who came to my mind first. It was the saints' children. So many of the saints' children been raised in this truth, had parents and grandparents that were saints that walked this way and taught this way. And I see children of the saints going off into the world rejecting this. Lord, help us. And they turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So many among us that have lived in this doctrine and have known this doctrine and yet want to try to find some other way that they might be saved. Some other way to make heaven a little easier. Dear ones, there is no easier way. There's only one way, and that's the Church of God way. What? Now, when I say Church of God, doesn't it? When I read this, it says, a lot of these were addressed to the Church of God at. The Church of God at. I'm talking about the church that Jesus Christ built. The Church of God. The Kingdom of God right here on earth. Amen. Too many of the saints' children decided to go a different way. An easier way. I don't want to embrace the doctrine of modesty. I don't want to embrace the doctrine of humbleness. I don't want to embrace the doctrine of purity. That's what I hear and that's what I see. And my heart is breaking. Lord, help us. Lord, help the children of the saints. They'll never get away from it. You know, there's a place in the Bible that says that the devil will take them at his will. Get out there into a place where there's no turning back, and the devil will snatch them up. Children, be careful with your soul. Be careful with the life that you live. First John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There it is again. Confidence. Do you see confidence in this Scripture? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And with that, there's a confidence that we can go to God and ask for that which we need, and He will supply. Why? Because we do those things that please Him. Do you have that confidence? Eighteenth verse. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. A confidence, dear Lord. A confidence, dear Lord, we want in Thee. We can have that, dear ones. if we'll do those things that He has called for us to do. To live this Word. It says in word and in deed. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Boldness. Confidence. To know that we can call on God. Do we know that when that time of judgment comes, we'll be able to stand before Him and see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him. Verses 5 and 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in the Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. I talked about being lifted out of a pit of sin. The world is always looking for heroes. Dear ones, I have a hero. His name is Jesus Christ. He gave His life for me. And He gave His life for you. The world likes to make monuments to the heroes. Go to Washington, D.C. You can see them. Got monuments to this man and that man and these men that died in this war and that war. All right, fine. Does God have any monuments? Who is it? Where is it? It's right here. It's you and it's me. We're walking testimonies, walking monuments of Jesus Christ and the power that He had to turn a life around, to save us from a pit of sin. A walking monument for Christ. Ambassadors were called. Do you do those things that please Him? Lord, help us. 2 Peter. Second Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant. Now, my brother Peter called himself a servant. Is it okay if I call myself a servant? Amen. And an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All things that we need are in Christ Jesus, dear ones. Everything that will take us through this life and on to heaven are in Jesus Christ. That's really all we need. He's my hero. He's my brother. My Savior, the lover of my soul, my husband, my provider, my protector. The battle's not mine, it's His. Lord help us, time. Time. I'm going to stop there. And once again, I want to say to you that as Christ did always, have confidence, because He done those things to please His Father, you and I are called to do the same thing, to always do that which pleases our Father. And with it comes a confidence and a boldness to know that we can come to Him anytime and get that which we need to make it through. Lord, help us. You pray for me.